We've heard that all too many times. Welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this gorgeous Monday morning. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Titans had a great weekend. 25-16 winners over the Colts. Indy falls to 0-3 on the season. Titans, very early on in this season, have already got a little bit of a stranglehold on the AFC South. Darren McFarland, that's me. Willie Donick and Chase McCabe alongside for the ride for the next 4 hours. Elijah Campbell manning things at our game studios. Derrick Henry, 28 carries, 113 yards, no touchdowns, three more catches for 31 yards, another big game for Keen Henry, and he went up over 100 at home, which was a pick six question on Friday that I missed. Guys, how we doing?
Good morning.
Doing good. Doing fantastic. Lots to get into.
Really? Like what?
Let's see, on Saturday, the Vols were covering the entire game, and then they didn't, so we'll enjoy them on Bad Beats tonight with SVP and company and Stanford Steve. And then the Titans go into Nissan Stadium yesterday, and, you know, a couple of key injuries, which kind of makes you worry, but they get the win, and as you said, have a stranglehold on the division right now, which is exactly what you wanted to see. And then it was a fun day of NFL. I think top to bottom it was a fun day. The Rams and the Bucks with a good game, and then obviously last night, can't give Aaron Rodgers enough time.
37 seconds, too much time.
And he's done that. They put it up there that's the third.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not his fastest.
Yeah, his fastest was 24 seconds. Yep. And then he had I think a 34 and then a 37. So
he made that look like there was nobody else out there on defense. It's amazing. Like, I don't even know. Like, how does he hit? Who was it? Devontae Adams, the final catch? Like, Devontae Adams.
He hit him twice.
Yeah, he did.
It's Devontae Adams. He's the best receiver in football. When the game on the line, like, how do you let him get that wide open? It's unbelievable. Devontae Adams, 12 catches, 132 yards, and a touchdown. And you let Devontae Adams, of all people, carve you up in about a 25-second – well, I guess they needed everything, right? They ran it down to literally a couple seconds before they spiked it. But, yeah, in like 35 seconds, they let Devontae Adams carve him up of all people. It's amazing. What a win.
The end of these games are starting to look like arena football games where it's never over, especially when you have quarterbacks like that. Sunday looked the same way before, you know, they coughed it up. Edwards-Helaire fumbled, or else that game was going to end just like last night.
I'll say this. I needed about 25 more yards out of Aaron. That would have been nice. Even a touchdown would have been great, but you know, about 25 more yards would have been really good for me.
But that's so fine. It's about you. It's about
it
you
is
on
about
this
me.
Monday morning.
Yes, it is. It is. And I had a good day, let me just tell you. I'm being greedy at this point, but it would have been an even better day if Aaron had gotten 25 more yards.
Mm-hmm. So this is I don't know if this is gambling or fantasy purposes.
This is a one-game parlay from my friends at BetMGM that I would have hit. Mm. But it's okay. It's fine. Well, it's good. Also, go Bravos. I'll just throw that
it was
in
getting
there.
A little bit hairy.
Getting a little hairy, but took care of the Padres, so that was good.
But they still have a series with the Phillies.
I'm aware.
It's the last of the Mohicans here. It's the Phillies' last stand. Let's see if they can do it. I think they're in good shape. I like how they're going here. But the Phillies have hung around. I give them credit. Unlike my team.
No, your team's gone.
They gone. And great series at Fenway, especially if you're a Yankees fan. The Yankees sweep the Red Sox, and so the AL wild card is very exciting for those that like to follow baseball. But this is about the Titans. What a great game against the Colts. You know, I never in my wildest dreams did I think you could be -3 in the turnovers and still win and feel like you should have won even easier. I mean, they won. They never trailed. But really, they turned it over 3 times and still were quite the better team. Now, the Colts have some some pretty big issues.
Yeah.
In the injury department.
Wentz couldn't move. I mean, he was a statue.
I think that really tells you a lot about what they think of Eason and Hundley, that they put Wentz out there, because I know he was trying to be the hero to a degree, and he kind of told the CBS crew, I'm not trying to do this to be a hero, but we discussed this on Friday when he went out there and practiced. You know, I just think he felt like he had to try. But I wonder what they're talking about in Indianapolis, because I think he tried. You know, he did a decent job, but he just was so limited. I guess that there's just no way that they felt like Hundley or Eason could do anything. Do you guys disagree?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I didn't think he was going to play. So I
well, I said
agree.
It on
no,
Friday.
You did.
I said
you
he's going to play. But he I was even surprised how little he could move. He was a sitting duck, and that really made things easy for the Titans defense, especially when they lost their best offensive lineman. They already have tackle problems. And so the Titans didn't even play Bud Dupree and still got a pretty darn good pass rush all day because Carson Wentz couldn't go anywhere.
Didn't play Bud Dupree. I'll tell you this.
Didn't play Josh Reynolds.
Didn't play
healthy
Josh
scratch.
Reynolds. Yeah.
Healthy scratch.
AJ
that's
was.
That's
AJ
where we are with Josh
early.
Reynolds. Healthy scratch already.
Julio, who knows what's going on?
A lot of things to discuss. We have 4 hours to do so.
Like,
and there will be a chapter with Mike Vrabel maybe giving more insights today, because I think everybody would like to know what's happening with Julio Jones more specifically.
There's is he going to answer that?
Something's going on. Well, he's going to be asked.
Of course he is, but is he going to answer it?
I was a little surprised that there was only one question. There wasn't really a follow-up from what I could tell in the press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, he had an answer ready, but something I mean, there's more, there's got to be more to it than what he's saying, but you know, they made it through. You know, the number one headline is they find answers. Swaim, Westbrook Ikhine,
I know.
Rodgers. I mean, you go right down the list.
McNichols had a touchdown.
McNichols.
Catch.
You can just keep going. I mean, these guys, Breon Borders comes in for three plays and gets challenged twice and makes the play both times.
I gotta give Jared props on something that he tweeted. Adani, I think it was the first sack. And he tweeted Ola Adani Vandenbosch. And I laughed because it was the perfect setup of the guy you've never heard of, you know, coming in like Kyle Vandenbosch did. But that was pretty good. And, hey, David Long deserves props. David Long played a hell of a game.
Played
yesterday.
Played every snap of the game. Landry, every snap of the game.
Yeah.
But we've talked about this, Darren. I think the best thing you can say, we will continue to have discussions about the Titans' last couple of drafts as we go forward here. But one thing you have to give Vrabel and Robinson huge marks for, they continue in spots, let's just say 35 to 53. Boy, can they find the role players that can play a role and get you through in games like that. Ultimately, if they're going to win the Super Bowl, the star players have to shine before it's all over. But the stopgaps and the guys they're able to find in there, I got to give them full marks for that.
I guess my concern in what I was – as I was walking in here, I was like, okay, how do I want to go about this? They won. They're 2-1. They had a gutsy win in Seattle. Needed overtime, but they got a gutsy win after a bad first half. And they're 2-1, and they're leading the division. That's something to feel good about. And then they're going to New York to play the Jets. But how good can this team truly be if they're not getting production out of a Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, you know, whatever his injury status is? Those are the two big ones. I mean, we laugh and say, okay, Josh Reynolds is a healthy scratch. I know they didn't pay that much for him, and it's a one-year deal, but he was expected to do more than Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. So, you know, I mean – does that stuff come to catch up with them at some point? Derrick Henry, I can't believe I'm the one bringing this up, is already at, was it 68 touches already on the year, 68 carries. I mean, you know,
plus an expanded role in the passing game.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's catching the ball more, which is good. I think that's
outstanding.
You know, that's awesome to see. But I guess 3 games in, I am a little concerned about that stuff catching up to him.
We'll come back. We'll discuss a lot more on this front, including the comments from Taylor Lewan. First, Willie, you've got a word about Loan Pronto.
All right, let's talk Loan Pronto. 615-499-5780. I have told that phone number to all of you countless times, over and over, and the reason is it's going to save you money, and it's going to be a convenient process. The refinancing of your home has been an arduous process, shall we say, for a long, long time. Not anymore. Loan Pronto has streamlined this whole thing. They've gone all digital. Most loans get done in about 14 days. So make sure you jump on the fact that the mortgage rates are down right now. Plus, your home value is up. Those two things together, they can mean big things for you. If it's simply a refi, ask about the zero-cost refi. No closing costs at all with Loan Pronto. They're going to save you money every month going forward. And also remember that you get to skip a couple of house payments when you make this deal. So it's a fantastic win-win for all of you. And if you need a home equity loan, take advantage of your home's value. You can reinvest that money or pay off some debts. Loan Pronto can help you with that as well. Once again, 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com and get the info on the zero-cost refi. Equal housing lender.
NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. Not all loans eligible for zero cost option.
In about an hour and a half, you're going to tell us what you know. It's easy to do. All you do is pick up the phone and dial 615-737-1025 and tell us what you know. It's an open canvas. Take it however you want. The best one is going to get a pair of tickets to see the Rolling Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th. So keep that in mind in about an hour and a half from now. A pair of tickets to see the Stones at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, October 9th. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, presented by Croatian CBD. Croatian CBD. Products curated for life. Elijah, do we have the Taylor Lewan comments after the game?
I have not FCC proofed them. I need to do that. Because it is not FCC friendly.
Is there violin music behind him?
No.
If there is, that'd be the world's smallest violin.
Okay.
No.
Well, let's get that, because I do want to play it. I want it for people who didn't hear it to hear it, and then we can discuss. I thought Taylor Lewan, who was back in the lineup, I did not think he was going to play. Obviously, it was apparent throughout the course of the week that he was going to play because he was back on the practice field, full participant. Thought that was, boy, that was a quick turnaround from Sunday in warmups in Seattle to no go and didn't look good. Like, it didn't, like, uh-oh,
yeah.
To magically out there full participant in practice all week and playing on Sunday, and I thought he had a good game other than, you know, what we're going to discuss here
yeah.
in a couple minutes.
It was a very good game.
I thought he had a good game. He did say that when he was warming up in Seattle, he heard a pop. And he told the trainers that he heard a pop in the knee, and they said, okay, you're out. Like, they, you know, it was precautionary, and it was the right move. I mean, I get it. You hear a pop in your knee, and you want to make sure that everything's good. But apparently it was, and no setbacks there. And he went in and played well yesterday. I mean, Taylor Lewan is enigma. Is that the right word? It's just, you know, he's coming off a serious injury, but an injury that maybe doesn't have the implications like it used to, but it's still been less than a year. You know, that's the other part of this. It's been less than a year since he injured the knee. And so I think the recovery for him has been a little more difficult than he anticipated, which I've heard a lot of people say that. I've never been through it.
Sure.
Two have. You two have both torn ACLs, so you can speak on that better than I can. But, I've heard him say that, you know, this has been difficult. Like, this has been something that I haven't
Huge.
Faced before. So I think that, you know, that's been a part of it. But overall, his game yesterday, having him back on the offensive line, I thought was big. I still think the offensive line is going to get better as they get healthier and more cohesive, you get, you know, Quisenberry has been playing on the right tackle. You know, you get that going a little bit better. You're going to see more production. But the Colts, we had it in our pick six, the Colts defense only getting to Tannehill once yesterday, and it was very early in the game. It was that first series. It was the only time that they sacked him yesterday. So you gotta be happy with that. And then Derrick Henry with 113 yards.
And they made him pay. They made him work for those 113 yards. Indianapolis, excuse me, as I get choked up talking about it, there's no doubt what we were discussing on Friday and last week, and we heard the clip from Indianapolis's safety or corner that, you know, they were going to try to shut Derrick Henry down, and they were taking some licks. Now, Darius Leonard, we played the clip at the beginning. Now, yeah, he did get trucked by Derrick Henry, but they also took their shots at Derrick Henry as well. So that was one of the more physical. I mean, we talk a lot, like, our guy that rushes as much as he does, and really we talk more about him delivering the punishment rather than him taking the punishment, which is kind of a rare comment to say about a running back in the league, because typically running backs take a lot of punishment, and for a guy that has that many touches, you would think that's what we're saying about Derrick Henry. But Indianapolis did. I mean, there's no doubt they were going after him. They were gang tank. They were going to try to slow him up. They were going to try to make him pay every time he touched the ball. But Derrick Henry's a freak, man. He's just different. He's elite. He's just different than everybody else. And gosh, like right now, when you just watch him, you just wonder, like, what would it take think about today's game. What would it take for him now not to have a 100-yard game? I just feel like a light workload. I mean, even then, yeah, it's at risk. But, I mean, it just feels like he's always going to get over 100.
Well, the workload long-term, I mean, I know I harp on it, but it is something you got to watch. But at the same time, I think in a game that was as big as yesterday, I think the Colts – and we discussed this a lot leading up to it. I think we hit it. The Colts knew with Wentz in the condition he was in and with Henry doing what he had done the week before and what he had quite honestly done to the Colts, you know, they just said, we've got to win the battle up front. We've got to win offensive line, defensive line. That's where the strength of our team is in the Colts. And I think that is a huge, huge mark in the Titans' favor. Not only just to get the win yesterday, all of the mental baggage that has come with trying to beat the Colts over the years, but that your offensive line and defensive line held up. Mm-hmm. They did not let the Colts run very well. They forced Wentz to throw it a lot. I don't think the Colts wanted to throw it 37 times, and they couldn't get the ball down the field. They didn't have time to throw the ball down the field. So they didn't give up a whole lot of big plays. They didn't let them get comfortable in the running game. And although Henry didn't hit any home runs, they still controlled the line of scrimmage enough that he was moving the ball. Like, he really had to earn. That was like an Eddie George style of 100 yards, 28 carries. And just, you know, he kept the chains moving. When they needed two, he got three. He was getting the four or five on first down. There weren't a lot of negative plays. I think the Colts can sit there and go, well, you know, we did a pretty decent job. But at the end of the day, he still controlled the game.
He had his longest carry was 19 yards, but you know, you bring up a good point that he didn't hit the home runs. You don't really need him to anymore. I mean, that's exciting, and we've seen that a lot in the past. But I don't know if you necessarily have to have that as long as he's effective.
But that's how you get the way like he's the running 2000. The ball. That's how you become the super weapon is when you can control the clock like he did yesterday, but also be the threat to go all the way.
Typically, those long runs have been daggers. That's when the air comes out of the tire of the opponent and the proverbial tire, and the game is over. I mean, those long runs is typically when the Titans put the stake through the heart of the opponent.
And also, you
certainly can't go into an NFL game every week going, man, if we can just get that 82-yard run from Derrick Henry, we're going to be in great shape. Like, nobody takes that approach. Like, CJ – you know, Chris Johnson was like the only guy where it felt like every time he touched the ball, like there was that opportunity, right? He was just so fast. and so dynamic. And if he had any hole, like, you were toast, like you had that feeling. But I don't think anybody in today's game, you feel that way, right? I mean, I don't think so. I mean, Christian McCaffrey's a great running back. Kamara's a great – but nobody really – when you see them, every time they touch the ball, you go, oh, boy, this could be the big one.
There is nobody like him. He is one of a kind, and I love the dimension that they are throwing in there now with the timely catches. He only had three catches yesterday, but they were all important. Like, I love the – oh, you're going to put – like, James Lofton had just said – hey, they put nine in the box. Wow, they put nine in the box. So what do? They rolled Derrick Henry out all the way out to the sideline, and they just threw it to him because the Colts aren't thinking that. Derrick Henry's lined up outside. Well, they're not going to throw it to him. Well, they did throw it to him. So he's keeping them honest there, and then they are adding a screen game, which for years we were looking around
that.
Going, when's the last time you saw the Titans throw a good screen? It was very, very rare. But now there's 2 weeks in a row where they've had some very well-designed screens for him. So he's carrying them right now.
I wonder what's changed. Like, all this time we've been saying this. Like, what's
the coordinator
changed? Well, I mean, I know, but I mean, it's like, well, I wonder why that was never in the arsenal in the past. Like, why did it take till now to get Derrick Henry catching the ball out of the backfield? Isn't that weird?
I mean, is it Todd Downing, which certainly could be, that he's incorporated that, or is it, you know,
is it something he's worked on? Or,
yeah, because
right,
I mean, Derek has said,
a special
changed?
Player, yeah,
right?
He's a special player that,
and
decides,
he has said he wanted to work on it.
Exactly, like Michael Jordan when he came into the NBA was not a great 3-point shooter, but he worked on that, and then by the end of his career, he could do that. Like, you keep trying to add facets of your mm-hmm. to your game if you're a great player.
What is it, Darren, that you always say that you have to do, adapt and evolve? I mean, that's what Derrick Henry's doing.
I think those are the words.
He's not a one-trick pony. And, you know, with the home run ball, he had his longest in the Arizona game was 19. His longest yesterday was 19. He had the 60-yarder against Seattle. I mean, he still has that
oh, heck yeah.
element of surprise that he can work in there. But, you know, who's to say that he's not going to pop one off a screen pass? I mean, that's another thing that can hurt you.
The other thing that you hear all the time, I heard it from the Colts repeatedly during the week in their game, in their discussions with the media on it, was, and you see this a lot, the Cardinals did a great job on it. You try to get him before he gets his shoulder square and going north and south, right? You got to get him early before he gets it going. It's a double-edged sword when you do that. That's when some of the home runs get hit. You can get him if you can get him before he gets the momentum going. But if you miss, that's when the home runs happen. There were a couple sure. yesterday where there was one guy, and if he made the one guy miss, it would have been a home run, and then we're talking about another 160, 170-yard game. I don't think there's – I just think we're seeing a guy who's still in his prime, that right now there's no sign of wear and tear from the last couple years, which is really encouraging. Knock on wood, it's only three games, but – I do think the managing of the workload will be important, but he is still carrying this team, especially with Julio Jones and A.J. Brown having mixed success.
Right.
Mixed.
Fair
to say?
No.
Very
no,
mixed.
Not fair. No, it's not fair. Like, what? Well, I mean, mixed for maybe Julio because of one game, but.
Oh, he had a good. He had an excellent first half yesterday.
A.J. Brown and Julio right now are on the wrong ledger, wouldn't you say?
Very
to
much.
To this point?
Yeah.
Three games? I mean, Julio, like I said, has had one really good game. We know that.
He had a good half yesterday. Agreed? Solid.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but then
but you
why,
know, but
why,
you know what
why wasn't he in there?
But, like, that's, well, okay, that's, but that well, that's a whole separate thing. In the first half.
It's kind
it?
Of a big thing.
No, I mean, I think it's kind
it's
of
kind of a huge
it's
thing.
It's part of the whole conversation.
I agree. But at least in the first half, he makes three nice catches. And that's what the offense is. Now, we did have a lot of talks over the summer, the three of us. I'm sure everybody else had the same thing of what was Julio brought in to do. And I mentioned numerous times, if all he does is be an upgrade on Corey Davis's role, which is not get targeted. Tim Hasselbeck, remember the stat from Tim Hasselbeck, most targeted receiver of all time, Julio Jones. He's not getting targeted as much.
He was targeted four times yesterday.
Yeah, and that's – but that worked for the offense. The offense was extremely efficient, and had they not turned the ball over in plus territory three times, they easily could have put 35 on the board. Easy. They were moving the ball at will, but they coughed it up a couple times. They don't have to have Julio Jones have seven or eight catches every week to win. They are going with the same identity.
I don't know if
I don't think
without
they do.
AJ Brown.
I don't think they do.
It goes back to what I brought up in the first
yesterday
segment.
They didn't. Well, you're right.
Yesterday they didn't.
That's a really good defense they just went up against.
Right. Do you want Derrick Henry to take the pounding yesterday for the next 14 games because if teams are just going to stack nine in the box because they're not worried about the threat of pass?
Now we're talking. See, that's the balance. That's the balance.
So you want – you just because that's what's going
to
happen.
But you've been poo-pooing me on the workload for years. So now you're coming around to my side a little bit. There's a balance.
I mean,
there's a balance.
He's also touching the ball like 35 times a game.
That's a lot.
I don't have a problem with it, but, I mean, if you have no threat, if A.J. Brown's not even in there and Julio Jones is going to be good for a half or three or four targets a game and everybody can see, like, okay, well, you're just going to use 22, then everybody's just going to stack the box. And what's going to happen for 14? They have 14 more games. You're going to get your running back. I mean, he's going to get abused. I mean, they're just going to take liberties on Derrick Henry. And so you have to protect your number one guy. He is their number one guy. He is the best player in the league, and you've got to protect that. And so I disagree. They need production out of these receivers. They need to make sure the opponent knows, like, if you are going to take that approach, then fine. We're going to start passing on you.
And they did.
I know.
They had no problem
with
it. It just wasn't Julio Jones very often. But he was efficient. He had four targets. He caught three. He had three excellent plays that were key plays.
But here's the question, though. Why? Like, why?
Well, something's up.
Did you trade him for four targets? No. You didn't trade for him for four targets?
I think you traded for him to be able to take
– a decoy?
No, to take some of the work off of Derek. I mean, you didn't want him to be – you're saying that – hey, if he comes in here and he replaces Corey Davis, I mean, that's solid. No, that's not what you wanted him to do. You wanted to have two legitimate weapons at wide receiver, which on paper you have two legitimate weapons at wide receiver, and we haven't seen it yet because AJ had the dropsies in week two. Now he's hurt. Who knows what's going on with Julio? Is he hurt or was he checked out? Like, what was going on yesterday? And so, therefore, you're having to hand the ball to Derek once again, and he's having to carry the ball 28 times.
But that's what you wanted. In that game, that's what the game plan called for.
That's fine.
That's a great formula for success.
You want to be able to have the options.
It's the Colts game. It's the Colts. You got to beat the Colts. That's your best way.
And you did.
That's the best way. Give it to Derek as many times as you need to in that game.
And you did it with Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Akina and all these guys, and that's great. That's fantastic to have that depth. But you can get away with that next week against the Jets. You can get away with that the next week against
the Jags.
Against the Jags. But then you got Buffalo on a Monday night. You got Kansas City. You got to have A.J. Brown, Julio Jones. You got to have those guys for games like that.
But
that's how you beat teams like that.
They're hurt.
I understand
you got to figure out a way. A.J. Brown might have to sit out a month.
What's the best ability?
He might have to sit out a month.
I understand that, but and I know that stuff happens.
If he's
teams get hurt, but that's not good.
He's not been physically right from the start. I don't think something's going on. You know something that Derek Mason told us last week that really jumped out at to me, and then it played out in the game. He said when you're in a little bit of a slump, he said, what did he say? He said get me an easy one, give me one where I don't have to move my feet, so I can kind of get that rhythm back. What was the first play call of the game? Very first play call of the game.
Ryan Tannehill scramble for 26 yards?
Nope. Very first play of the game.
I'm trying to even remember what it was.
Shotgun, no play action, quick toss out to the outside to AJ, and it got blown up. He didn't catch it. There was a guy up underneath him, but they tried to do exactly what Derek – said to get him going, get him on the up. AJ Brown ends up playing 10 plays, pulls the hamstring. He just hasn't been right. And now I think they might be in a position because they play the Jets and the Jags. They've got to get him right.
You can sit in the next
because
2 weeks.
Because to win the Super Bowl, you need all of these things firing. You've got to have everything.
And you need them firing later in the year.
Exactly.
So I'll give you that. But and they have – they're in a position right now. They beat the Colts, so they have a good spot in the division. They're leading the division at 2-1, and you're going to go up against the Jets and then the Jags. So I'm not going to go ahead and write and pin that's a W, but – it's certainly a better situation to be in. But they need Julio. Like, if AJ's not available, then Julio's got to be the number one guy. So whatever's going on with him, Vrabel's not going to say anything today about it. I know he's going to be asked, but he's not going to answer it. But they got to figure that out.
Well, how do you think he's going to answer it? Because he is going to get asked.
You know,
how do you think he's going to answer it?
He wasn't available.
There has to be a physical thing to this. Even if there is... I think the maintenance, the word maintenance is probably something to it. But that means to me, I got to have this guy every week, and I don't want to push it.
Is he listed on the injury report?
He was not.
No.
See, that's...
He was not. And he was not reported injured after the game. We can play Mike Vrabel's clip on that, too. He said, you know, we have guys trying to dig out safeties. But at the very end of the clip, he seems to... reveal a little bit. At least my read on it was there is a little physical something there. It had to be.
But here's the thing, Willie. I knew the answer to that, but I wanted you guys to say it out loud because we all knew the answer. The answer was no, he was not on there. And here is going back to a conversation we've had it once, we've had it 100 times, I don't know, maybe hundreds of times over the years about teams doing a disservice to players. If that is true, if what you're saying is true, and I don't know one way or the other, but I don't think it's a stretch. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think you're like out there in left field with that. If that is the truth, then they're doing him a disservice because what is all the talk about? It's what's going on with Julio Jones? Why are they only targeting four times? Why did it is? Why did it? It's and then if he's sitting there going, because I'm not right, like don't you think that's kind of important information rather than to beat him up? And to know that he's playing through something like when, you know, like after the hockey playoffs or, you know, football, whatever, they do this in all sport. You know, it's like when it's over, it's like, yeah, just so you know, this guy was playing through this. This guy had a, you know, severed leg. This guy had a torn ACL. And it's like, well, don't you think that would have been kind of nice, you know, for somebody to know? I understand, like, you're trying to protect the player, but one, in the NFL, you can't. Right, at least according to the rules, you're not supposed to be able to. You're supposed to list them if something is going on. But even if you are trying to hide something, you're not. You're doing them a disservice because everybody's questioning star players when they're not giving maximum production, and it may be for a really, really legit and good reason behind the scenes, but nobody knows.
Like we're doing today, and especially. I think it's especially important when you have a player like Julio Jones that he does have a reputation. We've talked about it.
It fell right in line with some of the things that have been discussed.
So I'm sitting here going, okay, well, did he tap out or does he have something going on? And when you asked Darren, what's Vrabel going to say? How's he going to answer it? Well, he wasn't available at the end of the game. That's what he's going to say.
No, I don't think he said he wasn't available. He was careful on how he chose it because he had the helmet. He was standing there. And so it looked like he was, quote, available. And so Mike Vrabel did not say that he was unavailable. He said, it's maintenance. I do think there might – I mean, it's all left to us to theorize, as Darren's pointing out.
If it's a maintenance, then you picked a damn good time to have maintenance because at the end of a game, a division game that you have to win, not having your best available wide receiver on the
field.
The
entire fourth quarter.
That's not right.
And the last play, as Joe pointed out, the last play he was in there, he makes a really nice block to spring Derrick Henry for a good run. So he looked good on that play. So something was going on. There's just too many plays where they could have used him out there. And again, full marks to the guys who replaced him. They made it work. They made clutch plays.
I don't think he answers he wasn't available because doesn't that open up leave the door open wide open to do a follow up question?
Right?
Why?
Well,
why wasn't he available?
The follow up is was that Julio saying?
Right.
I need some time, or was that the team saying, Julio, you're the big horse. We got this. And I that doesn't make any sense.
You can't even do that. You can't do that. You'll get crushed for that.
Yeah.
Like,
well, then Vrabel will once again say, no, he just wasn't available. I've heard him.
No, he didn't say he wasn't available.
No, I'm talking about today. I'm not saying what he said yesterday. I'm talking about today.
I'd be surprised if he changes it. Yeah, he's going to stick with some version of the maintenance, but he. And then I guess on Wednesday, we'll see if he's on the injury report.
Okay, well, then if he sticks with the maintenance today, then somebody needs to press him on, okay, maintenance in the fourth quarter of a division game?
Yeah, I know. People want to know. It's the Colts, and it's 14-13. Now, he is – can you imagine if they had lost the game?
Oh, yeah.
Then you've got a firestorm.
I was scared they were going to.
Well, then you've got a firestorm. But as it is, what happens is the team comes through with, you know, as Joe pointed out in his article and many people observed at the time, they get a huge touchdown on a third and goal from the 10, which is a tough pickup. Third and goal from the 10 is not easy to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Henry's not on the field. Jones not on the field. Brown not on the field. And they have a bunch of no-names going out in the pattern, and McNichols catches the touchdown pass. That's an unreal storyline. If you're the Colts, you're going, what? What just happened?
I mean,
we just let Jeremy McNichols catch a third and goal from the 10 in a critical situation?
And great for Jeremy McNichols, but who you guys know, I've liked Jeremy McNichols.
He's done a great job.
Solid player.
Great job.
But he's not one of your star guys that you're paying a lot of money to. And I'm just saying, like, if he's an option there, then great. But I want to have Julio Jones on the field in the fourth quarter.
It's just, again, just imagine, Darren, if McNichols bobbles the ball, they fumble, you know, something. Or they try to throw it, like in the playoff game last year. What did we talk about a lot the day after the game? The critical play of the game, they tried to throw it to a guy they hadn't targeted the whole game and about three times in the last 2 months of the season. Right? Why am I not even remember his name? Number 14, the guy that was a really nice story. Why do we forget these guys so quickly?
Oh, you're talking about the guy who fumbled in Buffalo?
No, I'm talking about the last play of the game, the critical play against the Ravens. The guy has the ball, but he gets bumped off and he gets intercepted because Corey Davis was hurt. Why am I
I know who you're talking about. I've already forgotten
his name. Okay. But that was our question, is why would you throw to him at the key time of the game?
That is Khalif Raymond.
Yes.
Khalif Raymond. Khalif Raymond. Okay, thank goodness Elijah has bailed me out.
Having a decent season with the Lions, by the way.
Khalif Raymond is a nice player. But that was a huge moment in the game. Corey Davis was unavailable. They make the decision to try to throw to Khalif Raymond, and they paid the price. He doesn't make the play. He gets bumped. Maybe it was pass interference, but he was, you know, not a big guy, and it doesn't work. If that had happened yesterday, can you imagine what we'd be talking about? But that's the razor's edge of the NFL. So they get to do this in a real positive thing. They've taken control of the division. The Colts are 0-3. You got some great stories emerging from yesterday.
And they are great stories.
But this is something that everybody's going to be going, what is going on?
But can these great stories help you beat Buffalo, help you beat Kansas City, help you beat the Rams? Let me tell you something. I've been on the Rams bandwagon. That team is faux real.
Oh, yeah.
Faux real. And you got to play them later this season. So,
yeah, they play a tough schedule, as we know.
Thank you for everybody that's now texting Khalif Raymond. I struggle to remember the guys that are on the team.
Well, honestly, I was sidetracked by the Luke Stocker play. I had that in my head.
Oh, yeah.
And I was and I'm drawing blanks, and the listeners will bail us out if we can't come up. Who was
Nick Williams?
No.
Oh, Nick Williams.
Is that his name?
There's another one.
The bad fumble going in for a touchdown in Buffalo, that was Nick Williams. Yeah. That's the guy I was trying to. That's, mm-hmm.
Was that the fumble in Buffalo, or was that just the drop?
That was a drop. It was a drop, I believe.
Drop. Yeah. It was a touchdown.
Wide open touchdown. Yeah.
Nick Williams. Where's he, by the way?
I don't know. But
he's not.
But this goes back. The big strength. You have guys who they find who are doing a great job. You got to say, Rodgers, Westbrook, Akini, McNichols, Swaim, Michael Pruitt makes another clutch catch yesterday. They spread the ball around to these guys with confidence, and that's a big strength for sure. So that's where they come out shining with this. And if they can keep that throughout the year, that's a big thing. But you need that plus your stars if you want to win the Super Bowl.
He's a defensive end for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. I don't think it's the same one.
No, I know.
Nick Williams?
Maybe it's his twin brother.
There's an outfielder.
Probably a few Nick Williams out there.
He last played for the Rams in 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. Mike Vrabel will speak at 12:30 today, and we will carry that live. We'll also talk with TD coming up to start the second hour. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour of Darren Donick and Chase next. Don't forget, you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube every day, Monday through Friday. Our video streaming is brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase. Taylor Lewan back in uniform and playing. He was active and upright on Sunday, played a good game, spoke to the media after the 25-16 victory over Indianapolis, and here's what he had to say.
I cruised back on the field, and our PA announcer, I think his name is Matt, just got the job. First game, right? Announces that I'm back in the game. And these fans go to start booing. Now, here's the deal. I don't know what that's all about. Like, I'm coming back from the ACL, 10 months. Like, it's a difficult process. And, yeah, I wasn't playing well at all. That was a really hard game to get over emotionally, mentally. That light went out. Like, that's how about week one. That's a perfect metaphor for all of us. It was a really big deal. You guys aren't going to be able to use any of this on cable. I really wish I could have articulate how difficult that was. You know, it was just hard to hear the fans after, you know, 7-8 years of as much as I tried to do for the city boo when I came back out there. That was, I was looking over at Ben and he looked at me and smiled and shook his head, and I was like, damn, that's crazy how fast it just turned, and I'll never forget that. And it was a difficult 24 hours, a difficult 36 hours, a difficult 48 hours.
So there you go, Taylor Lewan. And Willie, you already made the reference about the violin, so clearly I think I know where you're going.
Well, it's very dramatic. And Joe made a good point this morning. I was listening to their show, and I agree with this. To say it 2 weeks later, I guess it's the first home game since, but it's really not the story of the game. But this is what you get with Taylor Lewan. You're going to get, he said it's hard to articulate. Well, but he took his time
to articulate it.
And that's what you get with him. And yeah. He wears the heart on the sleeve. He puts the emotions out there, the good, the bad, everything in between. And so when you sign up and you say, I want Taylor Lewan on my team, this is what you get.
I would say to Taylor Lewan that, dude, it's just a battle you're never going to win, man.
No.
There's just no point in ever going down that road. And I know he may tell everybody he doesn't care, but he does.
He just said it.
He cares.
He didn't say he didn't care.
But they'll also tell you they don't care. I mean, people that say that, they do. They care. They're human beings. They care. It stung him. There's no doubt about it. It stung him to the core so much that he's still not over it because he felt the need to go there. But here's the thing. No matter how right he is or how wrong, but I'm just saying, I'm putting it in the category of no matter how much everything, if everything he said was spot on and 100% true, it's still a place you should never go. You signed an $84 million contract. You signed a contract that's going to set you and your family up for the rest of your lives. You're set for life. And the fans help pay that contract. And you're just never going to win that battle, Taylor, ever. Like, I understand. You're a human. It hurt. Your own fans were booing you. First game back, ACL. Everything you said, I get it. It's all true. And it's okay to feel that way. I just think when you go public with it. Who was the Browns GM? Was it, I don't know, was it John Dorsey? No, it doesn't sound
when?
Right. Who was the GM that started answering emails from fans? He ended up getting fired over it. It was.
I don't think it was John Dorsey.
I don't think it was John Dorsey. Who was the guy before John Dorsey?
Wasn't that the guy from Moneyball?
Yes, yeah. I think you're right.
The Moneyball.
We're having a lot of brain cramps today.
I don't know.
Anyway, it was the same deal. It was like the minute the GM is answering emails from angry fans, like, you're toast. Like, you just can't do it. No matter how right you are, no matter how wrong everything they were saying is to you, no matter how wrong they're, like, you can't do that. You're paid well. You're in a certain position that you just can't worry about that stuff. And you can behind the scenes. You can privately. You can bellyache to your teammates. You can bellyache to your friends. You can bellyache to your wife. You can do all that privately. You can be ticked to them, actually. You can take it however you want. You can show whatever emotions you want. I just would say to Taylor Wan, dude, you can throw it all out there, the heartfelt message, like, that hurt. I will always remember that, fans. Like, you're just setting yourself up. The hole just gets deeper. Like, you're never going to win that battle, ever. Because the fan will – there will be certain fans that will always come back to you and say, dude, you get paid a ton of money to deal with that. Deal with it. You're set for life. Deal with it. You signed a big contract. Deal with it. You're a first-round pick. Deal with it. They're just not going to feel sympathy for you. They make $55,000 a year, and they're never going to feel sorry for you getting booed. So – I don't know, Taylor Lewan's never, you know, he's not going to listen to me. He's not going to change who he is. But I, just my opinion on it is he's never going to win that battle, ever, publicly.
But you know what is what dawns on me when you say that, Darren? I do think this is just how he naturally deals with it.
No, I
do
too.
What he kind of needs to do.
Well, so a couple things.
And it's not how you or I would coach him, Darren. I think we agree on how we would guide him. Mm-hmm. But he's already that horse has left the barn. That horse left the barn 6 years ago.
So I feel like that, you know, I'm obviously closer in age to Taylor than you guys are. No offense, but I am. And our generation is very social media based. Now, I think that I'm a little bit more of an older soul. I actually get annoyed with social media. I don't live and breathe it like a lot of people do my age, but 2 weeks ago, Darren, we blasted him for going to Twitter and not facing the cameras. So at least yesterday he did. Now, he had a good day, so it was easier to do. He had a good day, so it was easier for him to get in front of the reporters and answer the questions. But I agree with you. It's just fans are fickle. They just are. Fans are one week they love you, the next week they hate you. That's fans. That's what they are. And prime example was he tweeted a video last night that Bussin' with the Boys made that was, you know, supposed to be funny and everything. And I read some of the replies, and some people were blasting him and saying, like, hey, you know, like, get over yourself. And then there were some like, oh, I'm sorry, Dad. You're right. I booed you. I shouldn't have done that. You're great. We love you. We knew you were going to bounce back. I mean, that's what happens. That's what fans do. I mean, it just that's a part of it. So I will say that while I appreciate, hey, he answered the question honestly. He said he was trying to articulate it. I thought he did. Like, he was very honest about it. But as you said, Darren, it's a losing battle. You're not going to win that one. If he had said, you know, 2 weeks ago sucked. I played one of the worst games of my career. It was hard to hear the boos, but I deserved it, and I wanted to bounce back, and I thought I did that, and then
I
leave it at that.
Turn those boos into cheers,
and boom, and you're done. Like that. And you're done. That's it. Yep. I have no problem if you say that.
Yep.
I have no problem addressing it. If you're asked about it, then answer the question. Great. And that's that. Are you done?
I was
going
to say,
what
are you done,
Willie?
Talking? Or, I mean, we're trying to do a radio show.
I'm trying to add to the. I'm adding to the radio show in future hours. Future hours. Setting the table. Sorry,
too loud.
Too loud.
Too loud. Yeah,
too loud.
Too loud.
Set it very loud. It's like Kevin Nealon.
Is Willie on the phone? I turned on the Zoom. I was like, is he on the phone?
I was trying to pass a message along to Elijah, but not very discreetly.
It's all good.
Rookie mistake, man. How long have I been doing this?
Chase was trying to plow through, but I knew it was eventually going to be a distraction.
It was.
I was hoping that I was at the right volume for Chase to finish his poignant point while I was setting the table.
I could hear you loud.
Willie,
loud,
yeah. Willie put
coming
the hand
through
up.
Loud and clear. Willie, thanks a lot, buddy.
He put the hand up next to the microphone and everything.
The hand
zero.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. He was like, "Hey, Elijah, so what are we doing?"
I mean, there's a great Saturday Night Live skit with Kevin Nealon, Mr. No Depth Perception, where that comes out there. Then, so maybe
it's okay.
Maybe I need to check my depth perception.
Check something.
He can't hear me. He's way over there.
But yeah, and we'll get to Ron's opinion on this. You know, Taylor's going to be Taylor, like, and to an extent, I appreciate that. I appreciate honesty. I appreciate, you know, 2 weeks ago, I would rather have heard what I read on Twitter instead of reading it on Twitter. But He just has to understand that it's fans are fickle, and they're going to go back and forth like the wind, and that's fine. They pay
but
money.
What you said was the way to do it. If you want to address it, it's fine. I still would say don't even address it, but okay, fine. Go there, then do exactly what we just put out there. Like, just do that. Say it hurt. I mean, this rehab has sucked. I don't know how many people out there have ever had to go through ACL rehab. It's awful. And then, you know, to try to get in there in that first game, there was no preseason. I was rusty, and, man, I had a horrible game, and I paid the price, and you guys let me have it. Man, I love you guys, and I hope I can turn those boos into cheers because that's what ultimately I want. It was, man, it hurt me to hear that. So that motivated me to get even better and to try to work through this. You know, something to that effect. And you know what everybody does? Everybody applauds you. In fact, you may even win some people over. But just this whole, kind of like what you just, you know, the reference you made, Willie, like the violent, like the detractors, like they're just going to get louder when you do that, right? They just will get louder. Like, is that too much for you? Oh, the left tackle who makes tons of money. Oh, is that too much for you to handle? Like, the detractors will just get louder with it. That's why I'm saying you just can't win. That's all I would say to him. Like, Taylor, I understand. I get it, man. I've gone through rehab from ACL, and all I had to do was come back to a radio show, and it still sucked. You had to come back to an NFL game. Willie has gone through the same thing, and it sucked. Same deal for him. But we were just coming back and putting a microphone in front of ourselves, and it still was awful. You're trying to get out there in an NFL game. Like, we totally get it.
Right.
But we also don't have an $84 million contract attached to our name.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And so you're never going to win that battle with the fans. You're just not. Yeah, I mean, tell somebody who busts their butt and works like 6 days a week, 60 hours a week just to put food on the table, you know, the cry me the river story of you shouldn't boo me. Like, you think you're going to get their sympathy? Really? You really think that? When they spend, like, it's a big to-do when they sit down and have their family meeting, like, let's pick the game that we can afford to go to. Let's pick the Titans game that we can afford to take the family to. And so we can put that money aside. Like, that's what they have to do. And you're going to tell that family, that fan, hey, don't boo me. Like, you're not going to get any sympathy from them, man. You're just not. And maybe he doesn't care, but I know he does. I know he does. Or he wouldn't do all this stuff if he didn't care. All right, we'll come back. Hour number two, we'll talk with TD on the other side.